Thank you, worship team. I hear a twin. Are you a twin? Are you Andrew or Philip? I was told. Sorry, I can't hear you. I can't see you either. Who are you? Oh, there you are. Philip, I actually have a twin called Lloyd. It's a true story. I'm Boyd. He is Lloyd. It's a true story. I have a photo, but I can't find it. I'm going to go one photo. And where's Philip? Was he Philip or Andrew? I forgot. He was raptured. He's raptured. Sorry, guys. We didn't make the cut. And I wanted to let him know my parents actually wanted to name us Philip and Andrew. And yeah, we didn't make the cut. And so they went for Boyd and Lloyd. And an honest story. And then there was a kid at church in Auckland. And he was actually from India. And his name was Floyd. And everybody thought he was our triplet. And so we had Boyd, Lloyd, and Floyd. And but anyway, so if you see someone that looks like me, yeah, it's my twin. Anyway, last night I spoke to us about the prayer of breakthrough. This morning I want to speak to us about the prayer of forgiveness. I felt prompted to speak on the subject this morning, and I really believe that God's brought us all here together for a reason, and I really believe this is one of the most powerful prayers that we could ever pray. Last night and today, we're going to look at two of the most powerful, audacious prayers prayed in the Bible. And last night we looked at the blind man, and today I want us to look at another prayer, the prayer of forgiveness. If you have your Bibles, let me encourage you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 23. You can, if you have a paper Bible, you can open that Bible. If you have a device, make sure you go to the Bible and not Facebook, because God is watching. And Luke chapter 23, we look at the final hours of Jesus' life. He was arrested, beaten, battered, whipped. They put a crown of thorns on his head and made fun of him. They mocked him. And here is Jesus on the cross. He carried the cross up the hill, the place where he was crucified. And then in Luke chapter 23, 33 to 34, it says, when they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross. And the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Everybody say, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. I love this. Jesus prayed this audacious prayer as he hung on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Do you know what held Jesus on the cross? Not the nails. It was his love for you and for me. And there he is on this cross, and he prays this prayer, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Can I tell you, the very first words Jesus spoke from the cross were words of forgiveness. He prays a prayer of forgiveness. If I was in prison, I won't be praying prayer of forgiveness. I'll be honest with you. I'll be like, Sharon, get me out of here. Why am I here? Please, I don't want to be here. But Jesus, on the other hand, prays this prayer, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. In 2013, after my son was born, 6 months later, I was speaking at our Elam conference in the UK. So it was our first time traveling with a baby. And so we packed everything that you can think of. We had 7 suitcases. Josh had 6. Sharon had 1. I just wore the same clothes for the next 4 weeks. And so it was our first time traveling with a baby. So my wife, you know, packed everything. We even packed the kitchen sink. You know, you name it. We took with us to Europe. And I'll never forget, every time we arrived at an airport, my job was to go over to the oversized baggage area and collect the cot, the pram, the kitchen sink, the bathroom, the suitcases, everything that you can think of. So that was my job. And I would go and I would wait for all our oversized luggage to arrive. I'll never forget flying back to New Zealand. We stopped in Hong Kong for a night. And I'll never forget when I showed up at the airport in Hong Kong, when I got to the oversized baggage area, I was very impressed with the service there. Somebody went out of the way to take all our oversized luggage and put it in a trolley very neatly. All our luggage was stacked. And I thought, Oh my goodness, if New Zealand can learn something, they can learn something from the Hong Kong airport. Bless the person who went out of the way to put all my oversized suitcases, cart, pram, everything, my entire house in that trolley. I was like, Jesus, you are amazing. I don't have to wait too long. So I said to Shaz, I said to Josh, we're out of here. I wheeled our oversized trolley out, went through security, went through customs, went through immigration, and we were outside the airport waiting for our shuttle bus driver to arrive. He comes and introduces himself, and then he goes to me, okay, I'll put the luggage for you in the bus. And then he goes to me, Mr. Ratnaraja, it took him a while to say that, and he goes, I just want to let you know that you've got to pay extra money for your luggage. I was like, it's already paid for. What do you mean extra money? He was like, you've got 8 suitcases. I was like, I don't have 8 suitcases. I've got 7 suitcases. Let me help you count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I was like, where did the 8th suitcase come from? I said to Sharon, where did this suitcase come from? She goes, I don't know. You were the one who went and collected all the suitcases. And then I realized nobody went out of the way to stack our oversized suitcases and our prams and our gear. I wheeled out the oversized trolley for our entire flight through security and came out. I know, I have some very special abilities and superpowers where I had no idea what was inside. It could have been a bomb, I don't know. I managed to wheel it out and all hell broke loose. I'm panicking, Sharon's panicking, even my 6-month-old baby is panicking, wondering, who is this guy? Is he my father? All of a sudden, Sharon and my baby are like, we don't know him. And I'm like, what do I do? I was like, me speak no English. I tried every trick. My name is Lloyd Ratnaraja. I tried everything. And then I said to the shuttle bus driver, what do I do with this 8th bag? He goes, I don't know. This has never happened in the history of our airport. You gotta take it back. So I took it back, and the airport staff member was so mad. She was practically yelling at me. I was like, Shakura Daraba, come out in Jesus' name. You know, she was, you know, some possessed, and I was quickly running through a cleansing stream course with let it out, come out, yes, more, out, and then she goes to me, we will be in touch. I was like, sure, high five, see you later, and I'm sitting in the shuttle bus Googling what happens when you take someone else's suitcase by accident. And I read all of these things and I said to Sharon, lock the doors. Don't open the doors. Because I went out with someone else's suitcase. Here's what I want us to catch. Here's the whole point of the story. That was very therapeutic, by the way. See, often I see people, they get on a flight, they have their oversized baggage, but they're carrying it on, carrying it with them as carry-on. Have you seen people try to put their big bag into that little thing, and they're like, oh, it's a carry-on. And the flight attendants are like, yeah, right. And we're trying to do it because we can't be bothered to check it in and go through the whole process. Do you realize that sometimes we do that with life? We all carry baggage. All of us carry baggage. Instead of dealing with it, we take it with us everywhere we go, pretending we don't have baggage. Can I tell you, all of us in this room have baggage, including myself. And you're like shocked. Wow. Here's another one. Everybody in this front row have baggage. In the second row have baggage. In the back row have baggage. We all carry baggage. Here's the reality. All of us have baggage someplace, somewhere in our lives. Something happened, and now we have baggage. When it first happened, we thought to ourselves, no big deal. I can carry this thing around, but as life goes on, more and more and more things happen to us. Slowly, one by one, we end up carrying around more and more baggage with us. And as a result, we are no longer enjoying the journey of life. I want to ask everybody here in this room, I want you to ask yourself this question. What am I carrying with me that should not be part of the journey? What am I carrying with me that should not be part of the journey? There are people here today. All of us need to stop and we need to ask ourselves this question. And I really believe there are people here in this room, you are carrying this baggage of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Something happened long ago and you were carrying this baggage with you everywhere we go. For far too long, you've been carrying this baggage. Here's the thing. You take this baggage, unresolved issues, broken relationships, unforgiveness. The thing is, it's like this carry-on bag that we carry with us everywhere. Unfortunately, we get married, we take it into our marriage. We go to work, guess what? We take it with us to work. We take it into our relationships. We take it with us everywhere we go. And we often say, what is wrong with that person? Why is the whole world against me? Only to realize that we've got some baggage. Often we think the whole world is against us, but I really pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can all deal with this baggage called the baggage of unforgiveness. Listen carefully, unforgiveness is a trap. I heard someone say this, and I think it's so powerful. To forgive is to set a prisoner free, only to discover that the prisoner was you. To forgive is to set a prisoner free, only to discover the prisoner was you. In the book of Matthew chapter 18, we read about this man who was hopelessly in debt to his king. He owes around $10 million. This is a major debt. He's on his knees before the king begging for mercy. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 26, at this the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me. He begged and I will pay back everything. He owes the king a lot of money. And he's saying, give me a few more days and I'll pay back everything. Based on the story, there are a couple of truths that I want us to stop and pay attention to. Here's the first thing. Number one, write this down. Forgiven people forgive people. Forgiven people forgive people. I need to forgive others because God has forgiven me. But often what we do is we are great lawyers when it comes to our own mistakes, but we are great judges when it comes to other people's mistakes. When it comes to our mistakes, we're like, grace, forgiveness, mercy. But when it comes to other people, justice, consequences. Forgiven people, forgive people. How did the king respond to this guy begging for mercy? Matthew 18, 27, the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. A free gift with no strings attached. $10 million, $10 million debt canceled. This guy was completely forgiven. He was free to go. Now, there's a spiritual truth here for all of us. We all owe a debt to God. The Bible says we have all sinned. We've all sinned. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Someone had to pay this debt, but there is no way we can repay this debt. And that's why Jesus had to come. Jesus, the Son of God, had to come and die on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. So this is what God did. God didn't build a wall. He built a bridge. So Jesus had to come. And he died on the cross so that you and I can be forgiven. Can I tell you, you can never earn God's forgiveness. If you think you can earn God's forgiveness, you will make other people earn forgiveness. You can never earn forgiveness. Jesus had to come and die on the cross for the sins of this world. Jesus, let me tell you, there's no such thing as a perfect church. Why? Because the moment we walk in, it's no longer perfect. No, nobody is perfect. Jesus had to come and he died on the cross for the sins of this world. And let me say this to you. Out of his unconditional love, God forgave us and he wiped our slate clean. The debt has been canceled. And I'm going to illustrate it this way. And I'm going to ask my man, Kelly, and our volunteers to give them a hand as they come on up. And I'll tell you, Kelly's a legend. He's been looking after me so well. Give him a hand. Come on, give all our volunteers a hand as they come on up. All right. Now, these men have no idea what I'm about to do, so if you don't like what I'm going to do, it's all Kelly's fault. I leave on a flight this afternoon, so remember, I'm preaching on forgiveness. The Bible says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Can I tell you, everybody in this room has a past. All of us, we all have baggage. So let's say, I'm going to start with Kelly. Oh, Kelly. What's Kelly done? Wow. Murderer. I was going to say robber. He's a real estate agent, but I'm concerned that he might have some clients in here. So, murderer. Wow. Kelly, the murderer. Sam. Ooh, Sam. By the way, I'm not a prophet, so they haven't done these things. So just to be clear, wow, robber. What's your name, bro?
Daniel.
Ooh, are you married, Daniel? No. Daniel, adulterer. I need to give it to someone who's not married, otherwise. What's your name?
Peter.
Coveter. He coveted my hairstyle.
I was speaking my Friday night, so.
Brett. I've run out of sins. Brett, gossip. Wow. We all have a past. Somebody had to pay our debt. Guess what? We can't pay our debt. So God had to send his son, Jesus. We need Jesus. Who could be Jesus? Well, I'll be Jesus. What a shame. Can't find a Jesus in Tauranga. Someone's got to come from the capital city. Oh, we've all got to help the rest of the country. Jesus. Jesus. Guess what? Jesus is perfect. Never sinned. He comes. What was your name again?
Daniel.
Jesus knows Daniel's name, but Daniel deserved punishment. You know what Jesus did? Takes it off Daniel. Puts it on him. Sam, the robber, takes it off Sam. Puts it on him. Kelly, the murderer, puts it on him. Jesus. Brett, the coveter. You Brett?
Peter.
Peter. From now on, you are Brett. Jesus comes, wipes your slate clean. Brett, the gossip. Jesus takes it, puts it on himself. Here's the thing. Every saint has a past, but every sinner has a future. Every sinner has a future. And here's the interesting thing. The devil knows your name, but he calls you by your past. God knows your past, but he calls you by your name. Jesus died on the cross for everybody. For everybody. God built a bridge. And that's why the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him will not die but have eternal life. Give these guys a big hand. Take all the sins with you, bro. Bless you, mate. Oh, did I want Jesus? I'll put him back here. Guess what? Forgiven people forgive people. God expects us to do what he has done for us. Matthew 18, 28 to 30. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servants fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. How could a man who was just forgiven of his $10 million now cannot forgive his fellow servant? Probably because he didn't feel forgiven. We don't know. Maybe it bruised his ego. We don't know. But isn't it crazy that often we say, grace, forgiveness for us. But when it comes to other people, we say, justice. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Here's the reality. The truth is, hurt people hurt people. Forgiven people forgive people. Let me tell you this, forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a choice. Sometimes we say, boy, when I get those feelings of forgiveness, then I will offer forgiveness. Can I tell you, make a choice to forgive, and then the feelings will follow. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a choice we make. Choose forgiveness and feelings will follow. Number two, resentment robs you of joy. Forgiveness is important because resentment robs your joy. Let's go back to the story, Matthew 18, 31 to 34. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you the tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he paid his entire debt. Let me tell you, this man was sent to prison. Do you realize the worst prison in the world, where the worst prison in the world is? I believe the worst prison is the prison of an unforgiving heart. That's the worst prison in the entire planet. The worst prison is the prison of an unforgiving heart. It basically hell on earth. And Job says this in Job 21, 23 to 25. One person dies in full vigor, completely secure and at ease, well nourished in body, bones, rich with marrow. Another dies in bitterness of soul, never having enjoyed anything good. The truth is, when we fail to forgive, God doesn't have to lock us up in jail. We do that to ourselves. We do that to ourselves. You know, often I go to the supermarket and I watch people, they stand at the aisle and they're looking at the back of the food thing, you know, reading all the information because people want to know what they're eating. Is this sugar-free? Is it calorie-free? They want to know what is going in, what they're eating, what's in their food. Listen to this carefully. It's not what you eat. It's what eats you. It's not what we eat, it's what eats you. What is eating you up on the inside right now? What's eating you up on the inside? A bitter spirit will eat your body, soul, and spirit. A bitter spirit will make you sick. Let me ask you a question this morning. What bitter memories are robbing you of your joy right now? Here's a question. Do you want to get better or do you want to stay bitter? Focus on healing, not hurting. Often what happens is when we get offended, we stay offended. Do you realize that offense is inevitable, but staying offended is a choice? And too many people get so offended and then we lock ourselves in a prison and we're not enjoying life because we are bitter. Hebrews 12:15, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Unfortunately, bitterness can defile others. I heard about this lady. She was bitten by a dog and when she went to the hospital, she was told that this dog had rabies. And then she had an unusual request. She was like, can I please ask for a piece of paper and a pen? And then she started to write all these names of people. And they were like, why are you writing these names? What's with all these names? She's like, these are all the people I'm planning on biting after I get out of hospital. And I tell you, bitter memories, bitter people become bitter. The truth is, our present pain will pass, but how we react and respond to our hurts will follow forever. Number three, Forgiveness is not an option. Forgiveness is a requirement. Forgiveness is not an option. Forgiveness is a requirement. If I could just have just the keyboard player, please. Matthew 6:15. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. The truth is that forgiveness is a two-way street. Don't burn that bridge you have to walk across in order to get to God. Matthew 6:12. And Jesus prayed this, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sinned against us. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sinned against us. That's part of the Lord's Prayer. Many years ago, Shaz and I were in Australia for a conference, and Joyce Meyer was the guest speaker. And I'll never forget Joyce Meyer's story. Now, Joyce Meyer shares a story about her life when she was a little girl. She was abused by her father for many years. In fact, she shared that she was abused over 200 times. And as a young girl, she told her mom, and her mom pretended like nothing happened. She never did anything about it. In fact, Joyce shares in her story that one day her mom came home and actually caught her dad in the act, but pretended like she didn't see anything. For many years, Joyce kept saying, "Mom, this is happening," and her mom ignored it, didn't do anything about it. And at the age of 18, Joyce Meyer left home and she found Christ. She got married. And God started to use her in a mighty way. Everybody in this room pretty much knows who Joyce Meyer is. And she said her ministry started to take off. And later in life, I think in her mid-50s, God said to her, "Joyce, your parents and I are starting to age. I want you to look after them." But for many years, she confronted her father about it, and he always said, "No, I didn't do it." He denied it for so many years. And then God says to her, "I want you to look after your parents." So Joyce said she bought them a house, started looking after them, and she said it was the hardest thing to do, to look after her parents, look after the person who abused her. And she even went on to say this. She said, you know, she was called to come and clip her dad's toenails. And she was like, "This man abused me for so many years, and I've got to do this." And God kept saying to her, "Joyce, I want you to look after your father." And then God said to Joyce Meyer, "I want you to tell him that you forgive him." And Joyce Meyer said she would say to dad, "Dad, I forgive you." But the dad would just deny it over and over again. And Joyce would keep saying, "Dad, I forgive you." But he would deny it. On Thanksgiving Day, she got a phone call out of nowhere from her mom and dad asking her and her husband Dave to come. On Thanksgiving Day, she had no idea why they called her. When she walked in, her father was in tears streaming down his face. For the first time, he acknowledged what he did to her, and then he asked her for forgiveness. And this is what Joyce Meyer said to her offender. "Daddy, it's okay. I forgive you." And then she led him to the Lord that day. 10 days later, she baptized the very person who abused her. Listen carefully. Forgiveness is not saying what they did to you was okay. Forgiveness is about leaving the vengeance to God and letting your heart be free. Forgiveness is all about me giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. There's a big difference between forgiveness and trust. Forgiveness is given. Trust is earned. When someone hurts you, you forgive them, but that doesn't mean we trust that person straight away. No, trust is earned over time. Forgiveness is an instant. Trust is earned over time. And that's why the Word of God says in Romans 12, 19 and 21, "Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the Scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Do not let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good." Often what we do is, "God, you do the forgiving. I'll take the vengeance. I'll sort them out. You forgive them. God say, no, it doesn't work that way. You forgive, I'll do the rest. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Jesus said in Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. I really believe there are people here today, for so long, you've got unnecessary baggage you're carrying, luggage you've got. You've got someone else's luggage. And you're not happy. You're not moving forward. You're not enjoying life. The person who offended you, they're having a glorious life. They've had their sixth vacation and you're like, oh my goodness. And please hear my heart and please do not do this at home. I want to make it very clear. And forgiveness is like, say, Alan hurt me and I'm drinking poison and expecting Alan to die. Well, Alan's like having a glorious life. Let me tell you, Jesus said, forgiven people, forgive people. I want to close with this personal story. Many years ago, I was at a pastor's conference. There were thousands of pastors at a pastor's gathering in our country. And this pastor preached on forgiveness. And I was like, wow, that's a great message. And then he went on to do this. He said, there are people here in this room. You need to offer forgiveness. And then he said, I'm going to ask you to stand if you're in this room and you need to offer forgiveness. And on the count of three, he did this altar call and all these people stood up. And you know, when you're a preacher, you look around and you go, wow, that's a great response. Wonderful. Wow, brilliant. He did well. Good. Tick. Wonderful. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Boyd, you need to stand up. I was like, what for? Everyone loves me. Then God showed me a person I needed to forgive. For so many years, I was carrying this baggage of unforgiveness in my heart. And then I was like, God, it's a shame if you'd only told me a few seconds ago, because the altar call is already finished and they're going to sing the last song. What a tragedy. What a shame. Why don't we just do it in private, you and me? In other words, I was saying, God, there's way too many pastors here in this room. And if I stood up, they'll see it. And then this pastor goes, actually, I mean, hundreds of people stood up. And he goes, there is somebody here in this room who didn't stand up. On the inside. I was like, God, are you serious? Alan and Ellen are over there. And I know that pastor over here. And if I stood up, everybody could see. Some of my team are here. God said, Boyd, I want you to stand up. I'll be honest with you, I chickened out. I was like, there's no way I can do it because there's too many people here. I was caught in the trap of people pleasing. What would people think? What would that person think? And this pastor, I thought, well, he'll move on quickly. Time's moving, like I'm losing time right now. And this pastor goes, he comes over to here, we're on my section, and he goes, there is a pastor over here that needs to stand up. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Boyd, I'm giving you one more opportunity. The next announcement that is going to come out of that man's mouth is, Boyd Ratnaraja, you need to stand up. God was like, we can either do it your way or my way. I'm giving you an option. I'm building a bridge here. And I stood up, and let me tell you, that was the most defining moment of my life. I had to forgive somebody. 3 weeks later, I had a pastor friend of mine in our movement make an appointment with me, and he said to me, Boyd, I needed to stand up. I chickened out. And when I saw you stand up, I was like, if our movement leader can stand up, I need to stand up. And he said he stood up. I had staff members in my office in tears. When I saw you stand up, I stood up. I was like, that is so good, as long as you haven't got unforgiveness towards me. But anyway, but man, I'll tell you, when we talked about it, and you know, people said, I stood up because you gave me the courage. Can I tell you in a moment? Yes, I'm going to ask you to stand up. But when you stand up, can I tell you, you are not just standing up for what has happened, but you are rewriting the story for generations to come. Maybe there has been unforgiveness, bitterness. Can I tell you, when you stand up today, you're making a declaration. That's it. That's it. We're changing the story. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to do something very bold. While every eye closed, every head bowed, I want you to respect this moment. I want all of us to ask this question: what am I carrying that should not be part of the journey? Who do I need to offer forgiveness? Who do I need to ask forgiveness? Listen to this. To forgive is to set a prisoner free, only to realize the prisoner was you. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to do something very bold. If you're like Boyd, today, I'm letting go of that. I'm letting go of that. I don't want this baggage. I don't want to carry this with me everywhere I go. Today, I'm just surrendering it to God. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him, I freely give. Today, I'm surrendering it to God. On the count of three, I'm not going to take too long. If that is you, would you mind standing to your feet, wherever you are, where you're saying, God, I surrender this to you. I'm proud of you over there at the back. Already, before I counted, one, two, three. Would you mind standing up all across this room right now in the mighty name of Jesus? Would you mind lifting your hands to the heavens? Say, God, heal my heart. God, heal my heart. Heal my heart. Heal my heart. Heal my heart. Do you realize that God gave me a chance? I don't know if there are people here, maybe you didn't stand up. I want to give you an opportunity. If you didn't stand up the first time, you were worried about someone else or what this person may think or what that person may think. On the count of three, I want you to stand up. One, two, three. Wherever you are, proud of you, proud of you. You stand up. Holy Spirit, would you do what only you can do right now in the mighty name of Jesus? Healing rain, healing rain, healing rain. Heal our hearts. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, freedom. Freedom in the mighty name of Jesus. Would you set your people free in the mighty name of Jesus? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Free indeed. I want to read this prayer. It doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter what the scar, it doesn't matter the sin. Somewhere along the way, there is healing for your life today. He looks beyond how far you've gone. He looks beyond when you were hurt. He looks beyond who stole your song. He looks beyond what made it worse. He looks beyond where others failed to reach out to you and say, there is healing for your life today. There is a river that flows from the fountain of God, and it heals everything along the way. I've tasted and I have known that for every broken heart, there is healing in Jesus' name. Healing in Jesus' name. There is power in the mighty name of Jesus to break every chain. Chains of unforgiveness be broken in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we release it to you. We release it to you. Will you say it three times? Would you put your hand on your right hand and say, God, heal my heart. Heal my heart. Heal my heart. Say it after me. Heal my heart. Heal my heart. Lord, heal our hearts right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We release that person. We release our offenders. God, we release them. We forgive them because you forgave us. We forgave. You forgave us. We release those people. Whatever it is, we release it to you in the mighty name of Jesus.